Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Victory Monday in KC. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing this thing as always. We'll get to a little audio fun bag in just a bit, probably 8 minutes from now. We were laughing if you're watching on video coming back. Both Cody and I have taken our shirts off. We still have an undershirt on.
If that's not a selling point to watch the video stream, I don't know what is. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook.
Yeah. No, in all honesty, like, those of you that are working outside in the climate and the weather or whatever, obviously have it way tougher. I would just say it must be 80 degrees in the studio now. We are burning up in the last hour of the show. So, whew.
It's just awfully rich for the people who got to work outside for us to be like, you know, it's a little toasty in here. A little too warm for my liking. Today, Drew shed layers too. Look.
Today it's not. This is not the usual. Oh, it's a little warm. This is, we are.
I wish I was in shorts
doing
right now.
Our show from. Yeah, I wish I was wearing like just swimming suit. Like, I mean, that's it is not just like, oh, it's kind of warm. Mm-mm. It is like about to sweat warm during the show for some reason. It's not just, there's not hot takes coming.
I gave Rob the heads up for this studio in here, and he said something I cannot say on the radio, but he's not happy.
He said, oh, F?
No.
He said he cussed about our boss. I can't believe he said that just because of the heat. She can't control the building.
Rob, that is
rude. Unbelievable.
I think it's because
you think she doesn't want the building? I can't believe
Rob's
you'd say
cursing
those things.
Out the bosses.
No.
God, incredible.
I think it's because he said he thought about this, but then he was like, you know what? I'm going to wear the hoodie anyways. I'm going to wear the coat. I'm going to wear the jacket. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Tough.
Layered up and then had to learn the very valuable lesson. We'll get to random questions you mentioned coming up.
Yeah, I want to do that. But let's talk about this often. You called it the worst performance from the offense all season. And
it is.
The only thing that caused me to push back slightly, because there's plenty of reason why it was, would be the fact that like they didn't turn the ball over. And there's some other games in this year where obviously they were turning the ball over. But there was definitely an entire second half sequence in particular where they were doing absolutely nothing. Three and outs that were taking 16 seconds off the clock.
The standard was set right away. Their first five possessions were three and outs, a four-play punt, and a touchdown drive to their defense of 21 whole yards. Mm-hmm. That was their first five possessions. They only managed 14 more points after that, even though they received the ball off of five more turnovers and five more sacks from the defense. This isn't even close. This is the worst the offense had looked all year. Patrick Mahomes threw the ball almost 40 times. Completed only 50% of his passes. Mm. They ran the ball for a whole 3 yards a carry in the game. Kareem Hunt had 45 yards for 3.5 carries, and Isaiah Pacheco finished with 13 carries, 32 yards, and no scores. Kelsey wasn't very good. DeAndre Hopkins barely mattered. I would make an argument there was a single player on offense whose performance I thought warranted a good grade. Xavier Worthy, the rookie. He was the only player on offense where I was like, did it. The offensive line was bad. The offense was bad. Everyone stunk. It was the worst performance of the year, which was quite disconcerting, although I don't think it can get any worse than that, and at least they still won.
Yeah, that's what's crazy is that they get five defensive turnovers, six overall, and you score 21 points. I mean, that right there is your problem. I think that's what, if we're viewing how a lot of people felt about the game, that should have been 34 points or 40 points in a game. And it's because your offense did nothing with the exception of really the one turnover, the one where the special teams turnover, where they were set up at the 25 yard line, something like that, or closer than that, I guess. I'm sorry. That would be it. Other than that, they just really, really struggled. And Patrick Mahomes, that completion percentage speaks to it. I think a lot of this comes back to still the O-line, But even when he had time on some deep passes, he was missing by 5 to 7 yards consistently, whether it was to Travis Kelce on one, whether, I mean, Justin Watson, whatever it may be. And so that is a concern that even when he had time, he was still missing. This was long before the injury. A lot of it, to me, is the footwork gets messed up because there's a lack of trust even when he has time with the offensive line.
And he's gotten in some bad habits.
Yes, clearly.
I think that that's certainly part of it. This is not, I don't know if this is the worst season Patrick Mahomes has ever had, because the one thing I will say is that even though a lot of things are going wrong, he has mitigated the mistakes. Like, and I'll give him credit for that. Like, there were a lot of turnovers for a long time, and it was making things harder. Do you know the last time he threw a pick?
It's been like 6 games, hasn't it?
Buffalo. He threw 2 picks against Buffalo.
4 games, 5 games.
In the 30-21 loss, including the final play of the game, essentially, in which they were trying to do anything because they were down 9.
Okay.
So I'd argue one, but he threw 2 picks against them. It had been 2 other games since then. So of his last 7 games, Patrick Mahomes has thrown an interception in just one of those games. So, like, he has taken away all the risk factor of this. This is the single worst passing yardage output since Cincinnati. And you're like, he threw less yards than Cincinnati? I mean, yeah, but he only threw the ball 25 times. He threw it 38 times against them.
Yeah, that still goes back to, the yards per carry is not great, but it goes back to, in certain games, whether it was that Raiders 19-17 game when they threw it 46 times or whatever, and they ran it only 15. This game where you're up 21-7, it's pretty comfortable. In games like that, where your defense is dominating and the game is under control, there's no reason for Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball that much. You're just not. I understand. Ultimately,
agree.
You're never going to be a run first team with Patrick Mahomes. I get it, and I agree with it, honestly. But there are certain games where you have to look at how your personnel is performing, and that includes Patrick Mahomes. If he doesn't have it that day, is your offensive line protecting him that day? How's your opponent doing? Is your defense dominant? Where you don't need
like
to do
yesterday?
It. You can in three. You know, two. Three and outs back to back where you took 20 something seconds off the clock and didn't run it once. Why is that happening? And anytime we bring up criticisms of like Andy or whatever, some people freak out and like, he's going to be the best coach of all time. That all is still true. Nobody is saying he's a bad coach. Suddenly.
He's just not above reproach.
Just saying that there are still elements that can lead to potential losses in the future or mistakes that are made and things like that. Like if we're, for those of you that are still claiming it wasn't a blowout, whatever, we agree to disagree clearly. Why wasn't it? A big part of it was how the game was called by Andy Reid in the second half.
Look, I do think that Andy Reid bears some responsibility in this.
Yes.
But he absolutely does for their offensive performance. It's not just on Mahomes. But there are plenty of times you and I come in here, or I go on social media, and I try to make a point of like, hey, do not just look at the box score to tell you how a person performed. This ain't one of those games. That box score is very indicative of how poorly Patrick Mahomes played. This is one of the 10 worst games he's played in a Chiefs uniform. Probably one of the 5 worst games I've seen him play in a Chiefs uniform. But part of that is what you're saying. In the last month, the Kansas City Chiefs have started 3 different left tackles in the last month. They have thrown the ball 27, 46, 37, and 38 times in those games. Is that necessary?
Shouldn't happen.
That seems like a crazy number. Why are you putting him in this position to do it? And I've seen these other people like, what is a Mahomes checkout? This is why players have coaches. Let me just be like, if you give a player, let's just say the 4th and 2 in which Patrick Mahomes got hurt, and I thought Andy Reid should have punted, but they went for it. And it was a passing play, not a running play, because they hadn't had a lot of success in short yardage runs in that game. You say, well, why didn't Mahomes just check out? You met a quarterback. Like, no offense. You met a shooter in your life?
He's taking the ball out of his hands on 4th and 2.
You met a shooter. You think that that's the one he's checking to? And I mean everybody. This is not a knock on him. I mean every quarterback in that situation. You think he's checking on that one? I don't think so. And despite all the things we just said about all the passing, during that same 4-game stretch, Patrick Mahomes has 7 passing touchdowns and 0 interceptions. So Andy is not even incentivized, other than Patrick Mahomes getting hurt, to solve some of these issues. I actually think part of the issue they had on, I think some of it Mahomes was off. He missed every single deep ball. He had accuracy issues the entire game. I thought Andy Reid in that game did the offense 0 favors in the way that he called and executed the game plan. I thought it was a bad one. And they did no favors. And then just from then on out, screwed things up. And so, like, yeah, Mahomes definitely did not play well and deserves part of the blame, but Andy has got to wear some of this.
Absolutely. Now, this is what he had to say, actually, in postgame, talking a little bit about not only Mahomes' ankle, but he was asked basically the third quarter and how simply he's got to take some of that blame.
Offensively, you know, we battled through something. They did a good job in the first half. I've got to take care of business on my end for the third quarter of just giving our guys things that they can work with. And, you know, I wasn't able to do that. And so I've got to take care of that part.
No, let's hope there's adjustments from it. I mean, he's acknowledging it. Now, they got their first third quarter score in a while. We did the whole topic last week about how they don't score very often in the third quarter. Why is it?
Because
they got multiple possessions in the third quarter when you have the turnovers. And so, the third quarter was where it was, I think, where you could have swung the game into where it was absolutely the 30-plus points some of you were hoping for, right? And not just a 14-point win. Like, if you were thinking you needed to see a 28-point win, the third quarter is why that didn't happen.
Yes.
And the way the game was called.
I think it's kind of on everybody. I think the offensive line played terrible. I think Andy Reid had a bad game. I think Patrick Mahomes had a really bad game. But the deep passing stuff, and I don't think we were ignoring it before, but it's starting to get to the point of bleak. Mahomes, per Next Gen, is 9 of 33 on passes, 20-plus yards. Look, I don't expect a 70% completion percentage on that, but 9 of 33, that ain't good. He ranks 32nd out of 35 qualified quarterbacks in EPA per dropback in that situation. So he is only better than Deshaun Watson, Caleb Williams, an offense that once had a single yard in an entire half, and Baker Mayfield, actually, surprisingly, an offense that has kept it closer to the line of scrimmage of well from there. For an offense that actually looked great yesterday against the Chargers. Like, he's been bad. I don't know if I'd describe it as the yips, but there is something off in the deep passing game that Patrick Mahomes has been unable to recover from.
I think it started with some of the footwork and the lack of trust in the offensive line, and that he's not been able to get back on track from that. Does that happen this year? We'll certainly find out when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. Also, of course, the injury is going to play a huge role in all of this throughout the week and what his status is for the Texans game. Well, let's get to the audio fun bag from the weekend. A couple things we can highlight here. I think this from Trent McDuffie was pretty wild. So McDuffie gets his first interception in his career. Then he's asked by Evan Washburn from CBS and postgame how this that interception came together. Listen to this.
First NFL interception. Was it worth the wait?
Man, it was. You know, couldn't have had it any better. I ain't gonna lie. During the play, I was running, saw the receiver eyes look, didn't think the ball was coming, and I flashed and saw the scoreboard. Saw J-Mo throw it up and just turned around and was lucky enough to catch the ball.
He saw the Jumbotron to know Jameis was throwing the football. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's how he was able to get his first career interception.
I mean, kind of fitting for Jameis. I mean, things are moving so slow for Jameis's reads that he has time to be looking at the Jumbotron to get the interception. Honestly, kudos. I'm not even mad at him. That's an incredible way to get your first interception. Peeking at the Jumbotron and be like, well, I see him heaving it, and that's on my side of the field. Time to drift over. And look, he said the corner of his eye, so it's all still moving kind of quick. But that also probably just speaks to the processing power of an athlete's brain. Go, that he's got time to be checking out the jumbo, trying to be like, ooh, Jameis throwing over there. Time to run. Good for Trent McDuffie, though. I'm really happy he got his first interception. You could see how happy he was to get it, and the team was for him to get it. Mitch Holtis on his on that game call, and how excited he was for Trent McDuffie, so it was kind of incredible. I thought one of the best moments of the weekend was at the Heisman Trophy thing. No, Travis Hunter did give a really, really, really nice acceptance speech. But what stood out about it was his admission in the middle of this to rapper Lil Wayne, who...
Wayne, you don't know how you came into our life, man. My fiance love you. I ain't learned none. I didn't know none of your songs until she let me know, because I don't listen to music. She let me know. She told me, you got to listen to this. If you don't listen to music, listen to Wayne. And from that day on, that's all I listen to, pregame music. That's the song. Those are the songs I listen to. When I get in that TRX and I blast that music, I'm listening to Wayne. It's crazy. 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot, hot. That's my song. I'm telling you, man, that's crazy. I respect you for coming out here, coming to support me, man.
He hadn't heard of Lil Wayne till like a few months ago?
That's insane.
How is that possible? Truly. Like, he's never been at a football practice. They were playing Lil Wayne. He's never been at like a party. I know he says he doesn't party. Like, that's wild.
He said he didn't listen to music either, which is...
Okay, I'll just be honest. That is concerning behavior, Carl. I think you might be a psychopath. You're like, I don't listen to music at all. That is a concerning thing for somebody to say, in my opinion.
I was stunned by it. I was definitely stunned.
I don't know.
Like, even you, Gold, when you're like, I don't know the name of artist for this or whatever. Like, I kind of know the song. Yeah. You know Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the songs. I'm not always good about the right artist with what song, but yeah.
That's a wild admission from him. Kudos, I guess, for making it part of that. That was a really good acceptance speech by him.
Shout out to his fiance for putting him on to Lil Wayne.
Yeah. Right. You know, you're marrying the right woman. Somebody who's not going to let you miss out on, you know, everything somebody
and
knows culturally.
Icon. Yeah.
Then you had Sunday pregame. If you were watching at all the CBS coverage, so they made Lions-Bills obviously out to be a huge game. And Jim Nantz and the whole CBS crew were on site for Lions and Bills. And this was right before the Chiefs game actually started. Listen to Jim Nantz. I think he was just playing up to the crowd.
This game, I think, is going to be played back again on February 9th.
I do.
And for today, there's a lot on the line for both sides. But I think they're playing for the right to be the next crowned America's team.
Now, I don't know if Jim Nantz was just playing up. Now, I think he's correct that if the Lions are in a Super Bowl, there's no doubt in my mind everybody will be rooting for them other than the opposing fan base. Like, they will be in that view, sure. But when we say America's team, nobody means it that for one particular Super Bowl, everybody's rooting for you over your opponent. We mean it as you've had success for multiple years. You have the most jersey sales. You have the highest TV ratings, all of this kind of stuff. That's not what America, the Cowboys were winning a bunch of games. They were the most popular jerseys sold, all of this. Not just that, like, oh, you're the underdog and people want you to win the one game.
You got
to
win something to be America's team. The Lions have zero Super Bowl titles in their history.
Look, I don't doubt that if the Chiefs play the Bills, same thing. If the Chiefs play the Bills in the AFC title game, everybody outside of Kansas City will obviously be rooting for Buffalo. It doesn't mean Buffalo's like America's team.
Who is, by the way? Because I don't think it was
ever it's the Chiefs. I don't think it was clear. Their ratings are number one, and they've had the titles to back it up.
I guess, but I never felt like the Patriots were ever America's team, right? Mm. Like, I don't feel like they ever got that. Like, it never felt that way. It felt like everyone was against them. There was at least a stretch of time when it felt like everybody was kind of rooting for the Chiefs and rooting for Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is inherently more likable than Tom Brady, who is one of the least likable players, I think, in a lot of people's thing, you know, like a lot of outsiders' cases. But, like, I don't know. We'll see. Like, you're probably right. If it was the Chiefs then, I feel like it, or if it is the Chiefs now, it feels like kind of to be the Patriots then at some point. I just never felt that way when I was watching him. Maybe it's the outsider looking at. Also, Nantz would shut up about it. He was convinced that this was the preview of the Super Bowl matchup. Yeah. When it's 42-44, you wish. The NFL execs wish it was 42-44. I got bad news for you. It'll end up being Chiefs, Packers, and the score will be 17-14 final. Congrats.
Super Bowl's on Fox this year. Tom Brady.
He's gotten a little better.
Work hard. He has gotten better as the season has gone on. He hasn't done many Chiefs games. He's just done the one?
I think maybe just the one.
The 49ers one? Is that it?
I don't know. You had pointed out the thing about the Chiefs schedule, and it still feels unfair that the only two teams who are vying for the number one seed in the NFL playoffs this year, one of them is playing noon on Sunday, 3:25 on Sunday, noon on Sunday, and the other one is playing this Saturday, Christmas Day, and then 10 days later on a Sunday at a time we don't even know.
True.
So, like,
true.
You're like, well, that seems unequal. And one of those teams had a bye week 2 weeks ago, and the other one had it, like, Halloween.
Week six.
So it just feels like NFL schedule makers not doing the Chiefs any favors this year. That's all.
So since you can't cheat and be America's team, that's why it's not the Pats.
Oh, that's a good point. Actually, I don't know, man. Doesn't that make you even more American in a lot of ways? Like, couldn't we make the argument that in a lot of ways we're even more American by cheating? Like, let's just, come on.
Are you saying cheating is the American way? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and capitalism. But like those
they
two
have
things.
Red, white, and blue colors. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, the Patriots.
Yeah, they're named the Patriots. I mean, I don't know.
Cowboys also feel American.
Yeah, for sure.
And in a lot of ways, Chiefs, if you stick with the Native American imagery, is the most American of all. Now, Chiefs are trying to distance themselves of that. I'm just making a point.
Yeah. That's except for the audio fun bag.
They've tried to distance themselves.
I still, so like, not to go too down the road on that particular topic, I always see, because I do a betting show, you guys know, on Saturdays with someone named Grant who hosts radio in D.C. He does afternoon drive in D.C. And so he'll always text me, and he'll post anytime he sees, you know, the live shots of Arrowhead and everybody's doing the tomahawk chop and all this stuff. And they are so jealous. They're so jealous that that is something that is still, quote unquote, allowed in Kansas City, because we all know the Commanders had to change their name. Here's what they don't recognize. Their situation you guys had there is not anything like the situation we have here. Your team name
was, look, I'm
not trying to get into debate on whether they should have changed the team or not. I'm just saying, like, you cannot say they're the same circumstances. The Arrowhead in the imagery there and the tomahawk chop is not the same as your team name being the Washington Redskins. It's just not. It's just not. So I always laugh when they're like, you guys, you might be jealous that the Chiefs get to keep their logo and all this. It's not the same.
They're bringing back some merchandise.
They're going to have the logo? Retro gear through like the Washington alumni group or whatever. They're going to do that. And I think the ownership group there in Washington wants to change the name again. But I get annoyed when like people in D.C. will try to act like it's unfair that we get to have the Chiefs and they had to change from the Redskins. Just not the same thing. Sorry.
They either need to change the name, or they need to get a logo for the Commanders instead of just a W.
I should have kept Washington football team.
Actually, that one kind of grew on me. It's better than the Commanders. And now you're going to change your name, so you're going to have like the fourth different brand in the last decade.
They gotta have a logo, though, other than a letter to go along with the team name, in my opinion. It can't be like the New York Giants. At least the Giants have an alternate logo.
I will say they both missed the opportunity. Cleveland should have been the Spiders, not the Guardians.
I think they ran into
Richmond, wasn't it? The University of Richmond.
Maybe that was what it is.
Had a problem with it.
And the Guardians is a Cleveland-specific thing, so it probably means more to people in Cleveland versus like it means to me.
Yeah.
And I thought Washington football team, or it felt like they should have named when they were talking about the like the Tuskegee crew, right? That they were going to name it after.
Tuskegee Airmen was what people.
But it was the Red Tails?
Yeah. That would have been a really cool
The
one.
Logo work on that was badass. That would have been really cool. Like they should have done.
And then they settled for
color scheme
Washington
been good.
Commanders.
Also, the Chiefs, DC thing or whatever.
The only thing I'd say critical on the Chiefs, they tried to get rid of the chop in the like half-assed way of all time. They try to get rid of it because they know that it's like offensive and it is kind of embarrassing and people nationally make fun of you. And they're like, hey, we do a closed fist. Nobody does that.
Only the cheerleaders do.
The only people in the entire building.
Yeah.
They still play the music.
So, I mean, they are.
I was going to say that. And then
they probably should just get rid of that. That'd be a thing. If they don't want to have to change their name down the road, they should probably just.
But I just like the folks in D.C., though, that think like the Chiefs name and everything is like anywhere near the same as what they had in D.C. No. It's just not.
The Braves do the chop too, correct?
They do.
Their name was a derogatory.
Yeah. The Braves absolutely do. All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. Plus, we have a random question of the day we still need to sneak in. We haven't gotten to that. That's coming up next right here on Cody and Gold.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Of course, the Chiefs get to 13-1, but all eyes this week are going to be on the ankle of Patrick Mahomes and what his status is for Saturday's game against the Texans. Of course, the Chiefs will play Saturday and then a quick turnaround on Wednesday on Christmas Day against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both games right here on 96.5 The Fan. The latest has to do with Ian Rappaport's reporting, which is that tests show that it's a mild ankle sprain. And
so there's a chance he could practice this week.
And there's a chance that he could practice. I know Fesco was reporting that he's hearing it's more of a game time type of decision thing. All makes sense, right? If he practices, it's going to be limited if he practices at all this week. And we'll see. Right now, I would say I totally would get why Carson Wentz would start. But let's just see what happens. It's still only Monday and a short week.
Because of the short week, Andy Reid will speak to the media tomorrow, I am told. Likely, normally, it would be the starting quarterback or a quarterback who would talk to the media tomorrow. In a lot of ways, somehow that'll be a little telling. They roll Mahomes up there to speak. I'll actually feel like he's a little more likely to start versus if they take the easy out and just throw Carson Wentz up there. Next up on What's Trending, Deontay Johnson and the Ravens have mutually agreed to excuse him from team activities. So obviously, Deontay Johnson's like, let me get the hell out of here. They're like, we're not just cutting you.
No, we traded for you.
And putting you on the street. for anybody to pick you up, but you don't have to come to work anymore. And so they've mutually agreed that he's not a member of the team anymore, but he's still technically employed by the team, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. He is not going to be a part of the team, it sounds like, going forward as a result of their ongoing drama. Deontay Johnson, what would look like a pretty decent mid-season addition by the Baltimore Ravens, has gone absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, nothing. Remember, everybody was stunned by the compensation they got him for and all this. He only wanted to reportedly go to an East Coast team.
Now we know.
Did not work out, and the Chiefs avoided this one. I wanted him here. Like, he was one of the names we talked about. I'm glad the Chiefs avoided that. They obviously get DeAndre Hopkins, who has turned out way better than DeAndre Johnson, who has just done nothing.
Yeah. He gets the job.
That's very true. Next up on What's Trending, Arrowhead's going to host some college football next year, not just like they did this year with KU, but Nebraska. Cincinnati, next August. It'll be on a Thursday night, like the 28th or so, I think it is, of August. Nebraska fans are in the area. We know there's plenty of them. Plus, not a bad drive from Lincoln down here. That'll be a pretty good atmosphere, I would imagine, for a Nebraska team. That'll be coming off a bowl game appearance, and they'll have some momentum. Plus, Patrick Mahomes' cousin, that's not really his cousin, will be playing quarterback.
The guy that was signing autographs?
Did you see him on the sideline signing autographs?
He was signing autographs. He looked like Patrick Mahomes signing autographs. Did you think there were people in the stands that thought Mahomes was signing autographs?
Yes, of course there were. By the way,
there's no way.
I like that in the Wild West, it is college football. It doesn't really matter, so who cares? It hadn't even been. He technically couldn't even have gotten through the portal. Did you see he was with Rayola?
Who?
Nawari, the player from Missouri. He was with the Nebraska football player
on the sideline. Committed to Nebraska.
No, he had not committed
at that point in time.
At that time, he had not technically committed to Nebraska. He had not even technically entered the portal from Missouri. He was just with him on the other end. Yeah. Nobody cares. College football is kind of a wild west in that regard. That's cool. I think it'll be fun for Nebraska fans. Plus, you know, I like decent level. Nebraska should have a pretty decent team next year based on the
I don't know how good Cincinnati's going to be or anything like that. I don't know if it's, you know. But it's the week, one of those week zero games. Very early
on. I did not brush up
K-State's
on Cincinnati.
K-State's in Ireland. So Nebraska will be at Arrowhead. Nebraska will be at Arrowhead, and then K-State will be in Ireland.
Could be decent.
Ooh.
Next up on Watch Training, the Lions lost three more starters in their game yesterday after already being absolutely riddled with injuries. It is David Montgomery is now officially out indefinitely with an MCL sprain. Not sure when he'll be available to play. They lost defensive lineman Lee McNeil for the season due to his year, and Carlton Davis broke his jaw, so they're not sure about how long he's out. He's out indefinitely as well. They have placed now 12 defensive players on the injured list this season on the IR for them, for Detroit. And now just lost a starting offensive player, they might have taken on too much water. Detroit has inarguably been one of the three best teams in the NFL all year long. I'm worried they're going to get bounced in their first playoff game. I don't want to be like dramatic, but like they are taking on so many injuries. Their defense is playing so much worse than it was.
They're not the one seed. They would play the Commanders right now, right?
That's correct. Yep. Yeah, this is another reminder that championships are not won in the regular season. There's no regular season trophy that you get in the NFL. They've been the best team start to finish. We'll find out if they finish, but that's not what it looks like now. I mean, this is a team, if they have to go on the road, a much different scenario. They're used to playing in the dome. That's looking like they're going to have to at least play one on the road unless they get back on track. You can say, hey, Gold, they're tied for the one seed. I know, but we all watch Philly playing right now. Philly looks really good.
They have to travel to Philly just to go to the Super Bowl. Like, their whole thing is Super Bowl or bust. Forget the game or one game. Like, their path can get a whole lot harder if things get there, and they just don't. They're just down to scraps at this point. Mm-hmm.
That's very, very true. Lastly, some college football coaching news. Former Hokies star and Atlanta Falcon Michael Vick in talks to become Norfolk State's next head coach. You and I and Drew, we were talking about just one more former NFL players going back into coaching. Obviously, Deion, the most prominent of the bunch, but Eddie George is a coach at Tennessee State. Mike Vick maybe gets a job at Norfolk State. I think we're going to see this more and more. It's pretty cool. Trent Dilfer's at UAB, even if it hasn't gone well.
In weird ways, this feels like we all know this is like part of the Deion effect and all these other things. It also does breathe second life into at least a decent earning career for some of these players who lost their money. Vick lost his from his own doing. Some players lose it because they're not paying attention to their finances during these times. You know, being a head coach of even Norfolk State pays a pretty decent salary, a livable wage, certainly, on that end. But I imagine there's a lot of kids who'd be willing to play for Michael Vick. Even, like, you know, forget all, I know and all the off-field stuff, but I just meant, like...
Yeah, no, I got you.
People care about highlights. He's a human highlight reel. That's it. And maybe Andy gave him some advice. As a reminder, Michael Vick's been in multiple Chiefs training camps over the last couple of years. Him and Gruden. So it's like he's always bringing on these little project pieces to try to, like, encourage him to get there. For all I know, Vic was asking about, like, how hard would it be for me to coach?
No, I'm sure. A lot of questions. Yeah, I'm sure a lot. I'm sorry, I was looking up salaries for Norfolk State, so I was curious.
What do you think it is?
The last coach they had, who also was not Michael Vick, so the salary could be different, was a four-year deal that only paid $400 over 4 years.
So $100,000 a year?
Yeah. Not good enough.
Drew will take it.
I think
not good enough. You know?
I mean, I think you should be able to make that work.
You're saying I would take it? I would take $400K right now to be head coach of a football team?
How do you think you'd do it? Let's just say, Drew, dead serious. You had to go coach Norfolk State at the Division I level.
FCS football?
You got to recruit through the whole thing. Do you win a game?
Win a game.
No. Do you win a game?
No.
I think he goes over. It's not an offense to you, dude. Hey. I think recruiting is going to be a big challenge for you. Drew Nixon, person nobody's ever heard of in Norfolk State. I think it's going to be a big issue for you.
Correct. It would be very difficult.
This is not true. Norfolk State's an HBCU, correct?
I was going to bring that up, yes. That would Drew also make it a little coach, bit tough.
I'm just saying. That's just not, Drew.
So you think he's going to be
even
worse?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. That's a problem.
If it's anything like the
I think that would be an issue. Yeah, I think that's a factor.
If it's anything like the dynasty I'm running in college football right now.
Drew Nixon, head coach of Norfolk State, is even more absurd than any other school, I would argue.
All right, how about this, Drew? Follow-up question. Who's going to be the number one team in the country next year, just based on Georgia, Alabama? Oh, wow. Doesn't matter.
Oregon? Maybe, yeah.
All right, Oregon. Is Gabriel coming back?
No, he's not eligible anymore.
Okay. So, Oregon, you don't have to do any of the recruiting. But starting week one with the game plan, you are now Oregon's head football coach with all the assistants. How many games do you win? You get all the assistants. He gets all of the professional help, but the decisions are down to him. Drew's the head coach.
Who's calling the plays?
Drew.
Oh, gosh.
Drew's calling the plays.
Hold on.
Let me...
They win a couple because he'd have a good coaching staff. They got the money.
I think he wins five, six games.
We play Montana State first.
He's getting Montana State.
Actually, hang on. Montana State's
Oregon was in a battle with Idaho this year, week one. I just want to point that out.
And Montana State's one of the final four teams in the FCS playoffs. Shout out to the Bobcats. You
see this is a prequel. It's like a movie. Prequel to Remember the Titans. Drew would be the head coach.
He's getting kicked off as a coordinator.
I think
give Drew some credit, man. I think
we'd be able to win at least one game as Oregon head coach. I think I'd be able to get a game.
I think you win four. If I give you all the assistants, somebody's got to be giving you good advice even before the play calling.
So hold on.
Maybe you do a scripted 40 because you don't want to be trying to like.
You know what? My first duty would be as head coach.
Oh gosh,
I'm assigning play calling to the offensive coordinator.
No.
I'm just hanging out.
And our hypothetical, you have to call the plays.
I have to call the plays.
Yeah. Because otherwise, you could delegate your way to seven wins at Oregon.
The amount of research,
like just everybody does the job, and I just sit in meetings.
Do I get the playbook that is there? Like, do I get the playbook that they currently have in system?
Yes.
Oh, I think I'd be able to win a game.
You get Oregon's Madden playbook or NCAA college football playbook?
No. I'm talking about the real playbook. I'm not going off a video game. Hey guys, I want you to run a jet toss. All right, simple as that.
I mean, it'd work and just, run it a bunch.
I'm going to need Tez Johnson to come in motion. A little pitch from Dante Moore.
He knows some of the talent. He'll be fine.
Dante Moore is the backup in waiting.
He's fine.
For Oregon.
Jeez, excellent. We've gone down too much of a rabbit hole with that. 913-586-7965.
That wasn't even my random question. Yeah. Should that be the random question or do you want to do one still?
That's up to you. That's up to you.
We can skip it for today. We'll get to a random question tomorrow. We will make that the random question, whether how many games Drew would have won at Oregon if he was the head coach, got the playbook, got all the coaches.
They would not be the number one team in the country, I'll tell you that.
No. They'd miss the college football playoff, but they'd get some wins.
Absolutely. I would not be.
Dan Lanning.
We would not make the playoff. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I think honestly would almost, I'd rather coach Kent State, who absolutely stink, then coach the Oregon Ducks.
Man, but if you coach Kent State at zero.
Drew would be in charge of belief when things are bleak.
Cody.
They could be down 45-0, and Drew would be like, you guys, there's a chance, just like you do with Cincinnati. 6% chance.
If he coached Alabama, he'd be getting death threats.
Cody.
Like, if for one year Drew had to coach Alabama, they'd be threatening his life.
Cody, it can't be worse at Kent State. It can't. Yeah, it literally, I think, because they lost every game. I couldn't be much worse.
Do they respect you? Or are they just going to be running wild on campus? All this stuff comes into play, man. That's on you.
At this rate, I don't think it can get much worse for Kent State. So, you know what? By all means, they can go ahead and run wild on campus. It can't get much worse. You lost every game.
Follow-up to the random question, essentially, which was that. It's like, could Drew do worse at left tackle this season for the Chiefs? Obviously, I'm joking.
Have you looked at me?
I'm joking.
Drew, at one point...
This was a way to get into offensive line talk.
No,
I think if we all just watched the first half yesterday, you might have said, hey, Joe Tooney is good to go at left tackle and Caliendo left guard. They're done. No need to search for anybody anymore. Watch the full game, and I still believe if DJ Humphries is healthy, I want to see one more game of him. And look, if it's bad or he can't get healthy, then yeah, roll with Joe Tooney at left tackle, Caliendo at left guard, and just go, and that's your best option. But DJ Humphries was brought in for a reason. If he is healthy, that's who they should at least give another opportunity to play left tackle, and I expect it to be the case. I just don't know where his health is at heading into Saturday's game against the Texans. Is his hamstring injury going to be another week or two?
I like many people, watched the first half and I thought, oh my God, what the hell took so long? Like the second I watched Tooney for like a couple of snaps, I'm like, okay, yeah, I mean, obviously this is what you should have done the whole time. Because it felt like just Mahomes was off and they were bad in kind of short yardage. Some spots where I'm like, eh, you know what, games start weird, whatever. But as the game went on, it was pretty clear that the Cleveland Browns, who were the number one pressure rate team in the league going into that game, remained that. And the Chiefs' offensive line got picked on.
Mahomes was pressured more in that game than any game since, according to ESPN stats, more pressure than any other game since 2020, since the COVID year.
And, yeah, and it was the least efficient they have been in the running game all season. It was their worst run efficiency game of the year. So the offensive line didn't work. Tooney was not the solution yet.
Yeah.
I don't know, you give him 2-3 more games, you know, maybe it goes okay. But the answer is still DJ Humphries. And let's not kid otherwise. Pray that his hamstring starts to feel better, that he returns to 85% of the Pro Bowl player he was a year and a half ago in the NFL, and that you get competent left tackle play with elite-level left guard play in Tooney, with elite-level center play with Creed Humphrey, with, I'd say, career-best play right guard out of Trey Smith, and fine enough right tackle play out of Jawan Taylor. The offensive line play could so dramatically improve with just competent left tackle play, which they got closer to a Tooney yesterday.
In the first half, you're like, okay, truly, like it was way
better.
They
figured
out
ways to expose him.
The first half, there was one drive in particular in the first half. It was their best, maybe their top three offensive drive of the entire season. Great protection, great balance. I mean, it was the smooth one drive. We got it for one drive, and that was it. Yeah. That was it.
It wasn't bad at the beginning. It certainly seemed like it was fundamental, but the same thing applies, which is they're only look good on offense if they're in the hurry up. And I know that this sounds like an oversimplification. Just run it more, please.
Yeah, a little tempo.
Yeah, and they're a slow offense, and they always have been. But you already don't get a lot of possessions. Give yourselves a couple more cracks at this. You got 3 weeks to fix your offensive problems, which are many at the moment. It's not just the offensive line. Patrick Mahomes not playing his best. You're not getting enough out of your wide receivers. Last game, the running game was a part of the problem. I'd say generally speaking this year, that hasn't been the issue. But like you got 3 weeks to kind of like right the offensive ship as you were. And with Patrick Mahomes, I'll never rule that out. Start running some tempo.
He's got a bad ankle, though. That complicates all of this even more. And that's caused by bad offensive line play. I understand he's not immune to criticism, but that injury was both on the play caller and the fact that your offensive line was not protecting him. It was only a matter of time. We've been seeing Mahomes get beat up time and time again this season. And it's kind of actually remarkable that it took until week 15 for him to have an ankle injury that kept him out of the rest of the game, although they have already acknowledged that like, if he had to go back in, he probably could have. So it wasn't like a definitive thing. It's not like he went to the locker room immediately. He didn't have to get carted off or anything. But it was a serious enough injury that his playing status is in doubt for Saturday. And the offensive line has not protected him this year, plain and simple. And that is what ultimately led to an injury.
Like, if we're curious if he's going to continue to get tested in that department, I mean, yeah. We know the Steelers and the Broncos are two of the best defensive lines in football. They're two of the best pressure rate teams in football. They are facing three playoff teams over the next three games, all of which defenses, two of them, rank in the top six in the NFL in points per game allowed and in pressure rate. And the Houston Texans one, which when Will Anderson's hot, they certainly can cause problems of their own. The offensive line problems aren't getting fixed this year. They're never going to be. Matter of fact, if we re-ranked offensive line play when the playoffs started, 1 through 16 team, I'll guess they're like 13th. Right, they're going to have one of the worst offensive lines in the game. They'll have the best quarterback and a million other things.
Well, if this team,
you know, they're going to have to overcome that. They're going to have to win in spite of that.
If this team doesn't get to a Super Bowl again, if they don't win a Super Bowl again, ultimately we're going to step back and say, hey, the issues with the flawed roster / injuries, because there's flaws on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't able to patch them, and they've done everything possible to patch it. It's not like the effort hasn't been there.
Yeah, not from a lack of trying,
but. You've had four different left tackles start games this year for you. You've been down one number one, number two receivers at times this year. You know, your number one back was down at times this year. Your number two corner has been it'll be very easy to tell, like, hey, in a three-peat season, you didn't have enough. You just flat out did not have enough, whether it was injury or poor construction of roster. And I'm specifically really talking about left tackle. Other than that, I don't think the roster was poorly constructed other than left tackle. That's it. They obviously, at least immediate impact, they thought Kingsley could provide that, and he didn't. I don't think the rest of the roster is a poorly constructed roster. Their number two corner, Jalen Watson, got hurt. He was playing great football. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, you get tested. This happens for every single team. It's why you just said what you said about the Lions during What's Trending. They might have now finally reached a point where the injuries are going to be really tough.
It wasn't poor roster construction. They just got hurt. And the Chiefs, here's the thing. Brett Veach had like a two-year run of zero misses. Firing on all cylinders, man. Every single person he signed was working, working, working. I would even argue this offseason. Pretty successful. Hollywood Brown got hurt. There's nothing you can do about that. Xavier Worthy is a qualified NFL wide receiver. Sure. We're going to talk more about him tomorrow. That wasn't a miss. What he missed on was left tackle. He chose a left tackle and Kingsley Suamataia in the draft, who he thought could start for him, and he's not good. That's it. He's not good. Maybe he'll be good one day, but he's not good right now.
Right.
He's like unqualified to be on an NFL football field.
And now they've used three kickers, and they brought back Butker, and who knows what's really going on there. That's a little bizarre in terms of how he continues to plan his foot.
Yeah, the only offseason plan that failed was they thought they had a starting left tackle in either Wanya or Kingsley, and they didn't. And as a result of that, they missed. They didn't have enough depth. Every other position in which there's maybe been some issue this offseason could easily just be tied back to injury, not poor roster management, just injury. Yeah, they should have taken somebody else at left tackle in the draft, or they should have traded for a left tackle or signed whatever, different free agent left tackle, whoever, right? Maybe should have brought Donovan Smith in day one and started him. Now, maybe that had gone differently than now, where they obviously chose DJ Humphries, but... They're trying. It just wasn't overly impressive. That's all.
We're back at it tomorrow. Our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, going to join us. We might have to ask a question about Bobby Wood Jr.'s wedding. If you guys saw some of the photos on Instagram, Bobby Wood Jr., they had at the reception, a pop-up Whataburger, but it was a Whataburger, because you get it? You got it? You following that?
Yeah, I got it.
Pretty cool stuff. It was a who's who, it looked like. It was at the wedding. You were not invited, shockingly.
Looked very classy. Yeah. He was wearing like a classic black tux, mm-hmm, bow tie.
I like the classic look.
That was a classic look.
So we'll talk to Vinny about the wedding and, of course, the NFL. Plus, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, I'm sure we'll have the latest on Patrick Mahomes' health. That's coming up tomorrow right here on 96.5 The Fan. Up next, C-Dot and Rob.